The man behind Question Bridge blackmails is Chris Johnson, a professor of photography at the California College of the Arts, who also makes art for the Oakland Museum of California. He says he started the exhibit in 1996 with the intention of opening a window into the complex and often unspoken dialogue among black men. He wanted to create an intimate, genuine experience for viewers and subjects while providing new opportunities to understand each other and heal.
Well, the initial idea goes back to an experience I had when I was 15 years old growing up in Bed-Stuy in Brooklyn in the 50s, when I saw the black community divide radically. As soon as the fair housing laws passed in the mid-60s and it was possible for African Americans who had the means and the ambition to leave the hood, they did. And I saw that happen. And so you fast forward many years, and I was invited to do an installation project at the Museum of Photographic Arts in San Diego to coincide with the Republican Convention in 1996. And they wanted me to do something that related to video. And so I created this thing called Question Bridge as a way to get African Americans whose lives are focused on the hood, their values, their culture and language, to somehow communicate with African Americans who made the choice to live in the mainstream world. And I knew that if you brought them together in a room, that wouldn't be a safe place for either of them to be free and speak. And so I just videotaped people from each side of that big cultural divide asking a question of the other. So just one person in front of a camera asking a question. And it might be a question from the hood, for example, like, why do you talk like a white person? Just that question. So then I take that question in video form to someone who lives in the suburbs, press play, and get them to respond, well, I talk like a white person because that's the way industry expects me to talk.
That's a black person in the suburbs.
Yeah, I only do question bridges within demographics, not between them. Because I think that when you see racism and classism displayed, but the faces are the same color, it creates a kind of dissonance that forces you to reconsider your notion of what race is. And so of course, what I do is I also record questions on the other side. So the question coming from the suburbs might be, have you given any thought to where race is, to where the money for welfare comes from, and do you even care? And so I play that question for a welfare mom, and she has a very articulate, passionate answer, because people in those situations are always rehearsing the answer to these questions. So all Question Bridge does is give people who have this content of questions and answers a chance to share them with each other. Because the notion is that both parts of this whole, nominally called the black community, have something important to share with the other. It's just that there's no viable mechanism for a sharing of those insights. And that's what Question Bridge is, and that's how it came to be.
What is it about the black male experience that made you pick black males?
Well, being a black male, I thought that was a place to start. I mean, artists begin with their lived experience. That's the currency. That's the resource that we have to draw on. And so it made sense for us to take our lived experiences. But I think culturally what's important is that black males are arguably the most opaque demographic. And people think they understand what black males believe and feel. That's why racial profiling, and that's why black-on-black violence is so prevalent, because people are not dealing with human beings, they're dealing with images. And so it seemed like a powerful way to start. And if this process, this methodology of question bridging, was going to work anywhere, if it worked between black males and each other, then there's a chance for it to work for any demographic. And that's what we're attempting to do, to take the question bridge process and bring that to any demographic that is divided from itself, and create a vehicle for those within the demographic to share wisdom across those barriers, but also people outside to get insight into what's going on in the consciousnesses of each one of those people that they see. One example that stands out really powerfully is we went to prisons, because a lot of black men, of course, get caught up in that system. And we said, do you have any questions you'd want to bring? And this very articulate young man said, I believe in post-traumatic slave syndrome, PTSS. And I want to know, when you wake up in the morning, do you see a house, fill in the blank, or a field, fill in the blank?
The N-word?
N-word, right. And so we took that question in that form with the expletive not edited out and presented it to people like Andrew Young and many other people. And it was really remarkable to see how black men instantly understood that configuration. It comes from Malcolm X, of course, and the notion that you could either find a place for yourself in the house, meaning that belonging to the system and trying to work subversively from inside the system, or work in the field among the people on the ground. I mean, it was, you would think some people reacted kind of reactively to the word. I'm no kind of N-word, but others really took that as an opportunity to claim a place for themselves in this constellation of different possibilities that are offered black men.
Did any of the answers surprise you?
We were constantly surprised. Like, for example, it wasn't possible to predict that a man would say, in response to the question, "Do you feel free?" That yeah, I feel free in some cases, but not free in other cases, that I don't know whether anyone can be free, frankly. I mean, that was one of the answers that just went to the heart of the sort of universal human experience that black men, of course, share.
You have this project, this excellent project. You have a dialogue going on, essentially, mm-hmm. between people who've never met each other. But it's still, you know, among black males. I want to ask if you're going to have a black female question bridge, and whether you will, you know, kind of go beyond that and do, you know, white question bridge or Latino question bridge, you know, or cross-cultural question bridge. But first, I want an answer to the black woman question bridge.
Not surprising.
We have a lot of issues to discuss.
Sure. Well, not surprisingly, we get that question all the time. I mean, it's one of the things that is really inspiring to us as the makers of this project, because what it suggests is that the title, Question Bridge, colon, Black Males, people are paying attention to the colon and making it clear that this is a process that really could be followed by any demographic. But there's a deeper question to that, and it has to do with whether or not it's even possible for me as a black man to do Question Bridge Black Woman. Because one thing that we learned is that, as I said earlier, creating a safe space for this process of questioning and answering to happen is really essential to the dynamic working. We discovered right away that we could not have the presence of a woman in the room when any of the black men were asking or answering questions, because it changes the possibilities of thought to be in a different context. The same question in a different setting is a different question. And so what we hope is that people recognize that there is something to this methodology that can cross boundaries, and that they replicate it. One of the things that we've done is we've created a curriculum, and one of the modules of the curriculum that educators can go to our website and download is a replication model, so that a black woman could take this methodology and apply it in a setting that allows black women to communicate with each other. Because, again, any demographic that has nominally that belongs to each other has divisions that could be bridged in this way. And so we're hoping that it spreads. And we're building a website that hopes to embrace all of the different possibilities, all the different iterations of the question bridge in one place.
You're facilitating all this learning going back and forth. What did you learn from this experience?
Well, one of the things I learned, which is so obvious when you look back on it, is that there's no way to generalize about what a black man is, that the range of different life experiences that black men bring to the process totally breaks down any monolithic notion of what it means to be a black man.
Did you have some of those notions yourself?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that I discovered was that there was a creative place for me to be within the black community, because I live my life as a teacher at a great private art school that's primarily white. And so to have an opportunity to be embedded for years in this intimate way with black men and black boys has really been transformative to me on a personal level. That's a whole nother story.